Item 3.2 was asked for individual discussion. Before we move to discussion, obviously we have to take action on the item. 3.2 is the approval of the athletic employment contract of Mr. Robert Bobby Petrino. Do I hear a motion? Motion by Regent Ridley for approval. Seconded by Regent Johnson. Now call for discussion, and I would ask that we address our discussion to the contract specifics. Do I hear Patty? Regent Minter, I'm sorry.
Yes, yes. I'll make it short and sweet today. This hire and the hiring of these of assistants and others who will complete the staff, and I imagine we'll see those actions in April, represent a commitment to athletic spending without precedent at Western Kentucky University. And I'm sure you're not surprised that I've received a steady stream of comments from my colleagues about this, and not to mention links to every article published in the country. Faculty concerns fall into three categories. One, potential personnel issues. Two, possible damage to academic reputation of the institution. And thirdly, the major long-term financial commitment to athletics that the hire represents, which is a clear shift toward ever-escalating athletic expenditures. And these are all valid concerns, but I'm going to focus on the third point as it has the most troubling implications for the institution. Athletic spending has increased by 38% between 2006 and 2011, from $16.1 million to $22.3 million annually. The athletic department is not self-supporting. It is subsidized by student athletic fees, which is not unusual. The majority of its revenue as of 2010, 63%, comes from student fees and institutional support. So their financial fortunes are not entirely revenue dependent, but in fact are linked to our enrollment. If we lose enrollment or growth, that's revenue that they don't get. Student athletic fees also represent money that could be available instead for academic endeavors because, as most of the board knows, the CPE considers the price that students pay for the entirety of their WKU experience, not what percentage of it goes to fund academics versus athletics or other projects. It's the whole price tag. Every time the university assesses a student fee, those are dollars we cannot use for any other purpose. So when this board last year passed what was then the largest contract amount in WKU history in an attempt to retain Coach Taggart, I pointed out at the time that it was, in essence, the biggest merit raise in our history. And now we have this. We have a commitment of over $850,000 and more when the salaries of the assistants to Mr. Petrino would be made public at our April meeting. We have a large buyout clause that would likely be put back into personnel cost if Mr. Petrino leaves before the contract expires. We have an escalation in athletic expenditures that causes alarm for those reading the balance sheet. Enrollment is at best flat. Maybe it's in decline. Our expenditures for debt service remain long-term obligations, and none of these concerns which faculty raise have been answered. The small across-the-board raises do not even cover the cost of living. Calls for merit pay have not produced it. So we ask how we find ourselves in this situation and what it means. And simply stated, choices continue to be made, and they have been made over the past decade to continually fund extracurricular endeavors and other projects at the expense of the core mission of the institution. Now, prior to 2008, when the money was there to fund faculty growth and academic initiatives, it was spent elsewhere, and we have great difficulty now making up the difference given the budget climate. So the funding of entertainment over education is not a new trend, but it's one that we need to reverse immediately. And decisions like this hire just demonstrate that WKU is committed to funding entertainment at all costs, even as our enrollment flattens, debt load expands, and other sources of revenue dry up. So to state the obvious, faculty believe that WKU must put the money into the academic mission and recognize that those who fulfill the academic mission are as important as extracurricular concerns or brick-and-mortar projects. Because when funding is scarce, the other things, which are very nice, and I like them too, but they don't teach the students, engage in research or public service, or retain the students, which is obviously the key to our financial future. For these reasons, I cannot support this contract today before the board. Funding entertainment is the wrong thing to do. It's the wrong time to do it. And we need to focus instead on the things that we need to do to be a leading university with international reach. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Minter. Is anyone else wish to speak in discussion? Not hearing any, we now move to call for the vote. All those in favor of approval, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion carries with one no. Next, we move to item 3.3, which is the, again, I mistakenly included in the earlier consent agenda item, and it is not. This relates to the approval of transfer of real property in Hardin County. It's on page 19 of the executive committee section. Are you speaking to that, Dr. Ramsdale?
Yes. Well, Debbie and I will.
Okay.
Debbie? If you'll come forward, please, with regard to the property in Hardin County in the event that there are specific questions. You see the resolution on page, it's opposite page 19 in your book. You see the request for approval. I've tried to describe in advance communication with you about what is unfolding in Hardin County. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. and then certainly if try to fill in any blanks that might be left. Several years ago, what was then the North Central Education Foundation, what is now the Central Kentucky Community Foundation, I've been in discussions with them for the last 16 years on various initiatives in Hardin County. They were involved with us when the BRAC initiatives related to Fort Knox were unfolding. And at any rate, long story short, they gifted to us a few years ago a piece of property, 20 acres, valued at $1.3 million, right next to the Central Region Education Post-Secondary Education Center, which ECTC, Elizabethtown Community and Technical College, and WKU share in Elizabethtown. That was one of five regional post-secondary education centers created in higher ed reform, House Bill 1, in the 1998 Kentucky General Assembly. The North Central Foundation at the time owned a considerable property adjacent to that site and gave us 20 acres. Our intent at that time was to build at some point a second or a new building into which we would grow our baccalaureate and master's degree programs in Hardin County, part of our WKUE campus that we're now sharing buildings located that are also shared with ECTC. As I said yesterday, in Hardin County, the last capital projects approved by the General Assembly were in 2006 for the 2006 to 2008 biennium. Since then, capital projects have not been funded, and we don't know when they will be funded again, where I'm optimistic and hopeful that'll resume in 2014, but we don't know that. And so we had no timeline by which we were going to be able to build, but we had hoped we would be able to build when this property was conveyed and gifted to us. To the credit of Nanette Johnston, the superintendent of schools in Hardin County, she began to assess the situation, came to us just a couple of months ago in an initial conversation. Would we be interested if they were to build a building and share it with us on this land? And I said, yes, we would. She went to work, and long story short, we began to talk and we began to negotiate a partnership agreement that's still being massaged. I sent to you recently the latest iteration of that. And so yesterday, her board met to actually approve the bond issue where Hardin County Schools will issue a bond, build this building, and we will share it with them in dual enrollment programs and any number of programs, as will ECTC, as will the vocational part of ECTC, and it's going to be called the Hardin County Early College and Career Center. And it's really a neat concept of a triad, a partnership with three parties, three institutions, if you include the Central Kentucky Community Foundation, which will continue to be engaged and supportive, four parties. So it's a way for us to achieve what we had hoped to do a few years ago, but had no timeline in sight of when we would be able to follow through on that. And through the thoughtfulness and the vision of Hardin County Schools, create a pretty cool partnership that I think may just be a model for other school systems, or a KCTCS institution and or a public university serve that community. So they're serious about it. Their board acted yesterday. We announced this publicly, and they are engaging an architect on February 5, and they're now sending their material to the Kentucky Department of Education, which approved their capital projects. And they intend to be underway this summer, and they plan on being in this building on August 14. And therefore, we intend to be in that building on August the 14. By the way, we will also have access to that building at night for all of our regular WKU courses that we currently teach at Elizabethtown at WKUE. That are independent from the partnership with ECTC and Hardin County Schools. So it's a great circumstance for us, and no leases are involved. Now, we will agree to help pay with utilities, and we'll wait and see how that unfolds, but we're going to be a fair and responsible party. And what I would like to do is create that on its own revenue center, where revenues and expenses are married, and see how that financial dynamic unfolds. But this is Hardin County Schools, I think I'm right in this, is the fourth largest producer of students at WKU, largest school system, or Hardin County is the fourth, the county that produces the fourth largest number of students at WKU. And great schools, three terrific high schools, John Hardin, Hardin, Central Hardin, and North Hardin High Schools. Some of you will remember Lois Gray was one time superintendent of that school system. So at any rate, in order for this to happen, this board needs to authorize the university to convey the deed of the land that was gifted to us. We will gift it, or maybe they're actually going to buy it for a dollar. I'm not sure, Debbie.
We're doing it as a gift,
okay. to convey that property to Hardin County Schools, no financial transaction involved.
And we are retaining a right of first refusal.
Retain the right of first refusal should they, for whatever reason, at some point in the future, decide that they want to vacate the property. And we will have the option also of building onto that building should we ever wish to do so. We talked about that yesterday. I don't know that that needs to be written in here, but they welcomed us to add to it at whatever time we're strategically would like to do so.
On that right of first refusal, terms and conditions outlined in the deed, could you tell us what those deed restrictions are and what might trigger something like that?
Well, the restrictions are only those that would apply to the zoning up there, setbacks, drainage, and all that. There aren't any particular restrictions on.
But no, I mean in regard to the repurchase of the property, should they not perform, or if they couldn't sustain
the only
finance or whatever.
Now, the only option that we would have to buy it back is if they decide to sell it. If for some reason they don't want to continue offering classes, or they want to just get out of the building before they can sell it to a third party, they have to offer it to us at the then fair market value. So it just protects us from, it gives us the right to step in and take over that operation if we choose to.
What about the case of default on the bond?
I don't know about that. We don't have a, I can't imagine that.
Pretty solvent school system, yeah. With a lot, I think they have, I think I recall Annette telling me they had some $80 million in debt capacity. And this is a relatively small portion of that debt capacity.
And we have no obligation on the bond whatsoever, do we?
No.
I have a comment, and a lot of times you make a comment, and it's interpreted as negative to a project, and this has no way is a negative on this wonderful concept and what can happen. However, as a point of information and for education, for me specifically, for being a new board member, since we are a board policy, where could I maybe be directed as to the policy that this board has established as to transferring real property between the university and anyone? This would be the second meeting that I've attended that we have traded real estate. And last, if you'll look at the minutes, that my reservation was is that we own something, and though it was given to us, just like a gift to the foundation of any piece of real property, what is our policy on how we interact that? Because the announcement was made yesterday, but yet we're not approving it to today. So I, if I could be educated, at, not maybe in this board meeting, but directed in what policy exists.
That and follow up with you specifically.
Okay. There is no specific board policy. The statute simply says that if you all determine it's in the best interest of the university to transfer property for a specific value or not, if it's in the public interest to convey it as a gift, that you can do that as part of your board powers. But to my knowledge, the board's never adopted a formal policy on property. This piece of property is pretty unique because it was conveyed to us specifically for construction of a higher education building. I mean, we couldn't turn around and resell it. We couldn't put a McDonald's there or anything else. And in fact, if we hadn't built on it within 10 years, they had a right to take it back. So we feel like it, you know, this meets their vision for what they wanted to do with the gift.
And specifically, yeah. Once again, so it's not right, misinterpreted. Not. I'm not, and anytime you bring up a process, what process and procedure do we have, it seems to be focused on the issue of hand rather than the broad. And so it would be my suggestion.
To respond to that, too, is first of all, Hardin County Schools could not build a building unless they own the property. They couldn't, as you would know, couldn't issue the bonds if they didn't own the property, and KDA wouldn't approve it if they didn't own the property. So in order for them to build this building that we will use, they needed to own the property. But the second broader response would be every transaction is different. Every transaction has its own dynamics and variables, and we will continue to have property transactions of all varieties,
right,
going forward, and you just have to take each one on its own merits and the wisdom or lack thereof of any given transaction.
So, Mr. Chairman, I direct to you then, or is that a point of exploration that we need to look at a policy that is broad enough? Because if we do not have a policy, that's pretty, you know, our responsibility, according to statutes, is that we're a policy-making board. We're not to be in the minutia of the day-to-day operations, and in real estate we should not be, because that has to be a confidential transaction. But however, just as if we receive gifts, we need a policy. Maybe that would be something to explore at a later time.
I think what John is saying is the public announcement was made, even though we're all in full support,
exactly,
before the board had an opportunity to take action.
And
although we were well informed, extremely well informed prior to this.
That's an addition to my question.
And so there was nothing done that wasn't with full information, and yes, we could have objected at that time.
And therefore had to make the decision, do we have a called meeting a day or two before a regularly scheduled meeting in order to act on this so that Hardin County Schools could take their action yesterday? We would have had to have had a called meeting Tuesday or Wednesday, and yeah, I made the call that given the communication that we had that wouldn't be necessary. But if a policy is such that the board has to act before deals can be finalized, then we need to know that. And if that were our policy going in, we'd have had a called meeting probably on Wednesday.
Well, we were well informed. If we had objections, we could have got with the chair, and right, you know. So it wasn't anything done that we right weren't totally in a loop on.
Well, and also I want to clarify that Hardin County and their attorneys we all understood that this was subject to board approval.
Yeah.
Not a very slim chance it would not be approved, but nonetheless that they were right aware that circumstance was out there.
John, you mentioned policy of gifting property. I don't know the whole history, but I know since I've been on the board for about 4 years, as I recall, this is the first term that's ever been used as far as a gift, and this is not a gift like turning it over with no consideration. It's really a contribution to a joint venture that is beneficial. So
we're not in the habit of giving stuff away.
So, you know, I think that's That's kind of the circumstances of this.
Had we paid for it, that'd be a whole different dynamic.
I mean, we saw there was a parcel transferred to a utility company for a up station or something on 31W. But I mean, the ones that I've noticed are all for value or a contribution for
or some ancillary benefit like the fire
or
station
or joint venture type of situation.
Fire substation.
The foundation may not give.
That's new. Any other discussion?
Do we need to amend this motion just because if we're gifting it, it's got the purchase price of a dollar language in here?
That's fine. I just meant that's a term of art.
I want to come back to Regent Ridley's request.
But if they do, I will give it to him.
One of the comments that I'd had with the contract and President Ransdale answered that in his presentation was, if we were going to give the property, make sure that they actually commenced construction and did what they told us we were going to do. And if not, we could take the property back, similar to our deal going in, that if we didn't do something. But I think you clarified that they're well underway, and I'm satisfied.
And you know, in every deal, there's a level of trust. Those who read that announcement yesterday, I don't think anyone doubts Hardin County's seriousness and sense of urgency to get underway with that. And we have a meeting with them, two meetings coming up, one on February 1 for our academic people and one on February 7 with our facilities and construction and IT people. Because based on their board action yesterday, they're hiring the architect as we speak, and we'll meet with that architect 2 days after the architect is retained to do the IT and our input on construction. So this thing is moving on a very fast track.
John, I'll come back to your question momentarily, but specific as to action item 3.3, is there any more discussion about this particular proposal? Then I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Regent Dodds moved for approval. Seconded by Regent Ridley. Any further comment? Call for the vote. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, no. Passes unanimously. John, back to your comment. You've raised some good questions, and I'm like David. I'm wrapping up 3 years, and we've had a few of these presented, but not a lot. I can see both sides of the issue, in that each time it seems to be rather unique. So I'd like to have a policy, because you've raised some valid points on these last two situations. On the other hand, I don't know, I'm grasping to how to do it because of the unique character each time we're presented with. Do we want to form a committee to look at that? Does the board want to mull this over for until the next board meeting and see if there's a impetus to try to put some clarity into these discussions?
Well, let me suggest that the general counsel take the board bylaws.
I'll do
some policy document.
I think that's
see if there's a number 6.3.2, whatever, that would relate to property transactions, and come up with language and see what you think.
Just a comment. In most of these cases, we've already given them blind consent.
Right.
And we've never got caught by surprise. We've never had anything thrown at us at just the last minute at a meeting and that. And you know, we may be addressing a problem, and with all due deference, that really is not a problem. Maybe we just leave it light. If we ever have a real problem, we can take it up. I'll leave it up to John. So.
And again, I'm fully aware that this moved quickly. I mean, they came to see us last Wednesday when we started getting into details. And she approached me back in November at a scholars' lunch in Elizabethtown. It was just conceptually, and I said, sure, let us know when you're ready to talk about it.
Yeah, we don't want to limit the administrative discretion of the
2 weeks ago and said, well, can we come see you next Wednesday? And sure, come on, and here we are.
Well, we never want to limit the administrative discretion of our staff, because sometimes they do have to move.
And once again, so that this is not misinterpreted in any way, my question was, do we have a policy? We don't. And I'm not wanting to limit, put a ceiling. I don't think that's what this board does, but our board is charged by statute having policies and approving policies, not getting into the minutia. And if we don't have one, we may need one. We may.
Well, thank you, John. That was a wholesome discussion. That was good.
Thank you. I
appreciate the round robin discussion. We'll now move to action item 3.4.